We're going tonight to go back over to our teaching, the life of Christ. This said many times, and we will keep saying, we're really looking at the ministry of Jesus, because there's not a whole lot said about his personal life, but we can look at his life of ministry. We've been teaching in the areas of healing and looking at the individual cases of healing where it speaks of individuals. We know that there was many times in multitudes of people and people were healed. But we were looking at specific individuals that were healed. It's important to look at them because as we look at these individuals, you'll find out things about faith. Many times when we see in the areas of the multitudes being healed, many of the times what you're seeing is manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And that's different than operating generally in faith. When manifestations of the Spirit begin to take place, you can have many people get healed without any kind of faith at all. But we need to understand this, that only gifts and manifestations of the Holy Spirit that are spoken about in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, those gifts of the Spirit in operation there talks about it. It says there as the Spirit wills. In other words, it isn't a switch you turn off and on and they just happen just because you want them to. Most people take all healing and they throw it all in a bag together and they make it, it's all the same thing. It's not. There's different healings. There's people who have specific anointings in the areas of healings. You'll find this out if you ever check with people in ministry. You will find that people who have healing anointings specifically in certain areas of ministry, you'll find out that certain types of illnesses are healed through them, which might be one through one person, and another person is more prone to, there's healings, gifts of healings operate in another area. Like Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin had a lot of success in the areas of cancer, tumors, and that kinds of things. I know people in the area where when the gifts and that stuff are manifestation, you'll see people who are blind, a lot of blind, deaf people and that stuff get healed. You'll see a lot of those others in different things. Over the years, it's like with myself, I've had loads of people get healed in the areas with arthritis. People say, well, why? I don't know. Arthritis. It just seems arthritis is something God manifests through me, and I don't know. You know, it is. Where other people will have, there's other different things that people have gotten healed in things for them, but especially in those areas when the anointing's on me. I've seen that a lot of times, people getting healed in that area. But and we need to understand this, that one of the things that is, we're a body of Christ. Nobody's going to have everything. And this is where a lot of people, you know, don't really understand it or get it. I remember... I think it was Mom and Pop Goodwin, I think it was, or one of them. Anyhow, they had were healing and stuff. And like, he used to be able to get people filled with the Holy Ghost and drop the hat, but she'd get people in the areas of healing. And he used to tell people who'd come to him about it for healing. He'd say, you ought to go see my wife. Because, you know, he says, more people, you know, get healed under my wife's ministry. He said, God uses me more over in the area getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. And people getting filled with the Holy Ghost over the years. Now, I've never had a specific anointing about getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, but over the years have had great success with it. Just from the standpoint of just studying the Bible, listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching on people being filled with the Holy Ghost, because there are some people who specifically have anointing in that area, will get people filled with the Holy Ghost. And... I didn't ever had a specific anointing in that area, but I just learned how to minister. I found out that the whole thing was most people had a... When you have people who they used to call more, you heard it. Don't hear much about it today. Well, a lot of ministries don't even talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But most people are trying to... They never try to receive the Holy Spirit. They're trying to get God to give it to them. And you don't do that. The Holy Spirit's already here. What you do is receive it. And that's all I do is I learn to talk to people about receiving it. The Holy Ghost here, the Lord spoke to me one time and he told me, he says, when you tell a person, when you lay your hands on them, the Holy Ghost is going to come on them. It's going to come on them. Now, they either receive it or they don't receive it. But it's up to the individual. And I found out that's true. If you get a person over the area, the Holy Ghost has already been given. You don't have to ask God for the Holy Ghost. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came the day of Pentecost. He's still here. He ain't left. And so if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you got to receive it. You know, that's the way I even learned to get it myself. I got filled with the Holy Ghost in my bedroom. I just had heard some teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they talk about laying hands on people. And I thought, well, there's things about faith. I'll just receive it. And so I just confessed and I believed I received the Holy Ghost. And I spoke in other tongues and that's where I got started. That's how I got started off just doing it like that. And So I just would turn around and do the same thing and minister to other people in those ways. So there's different anointings and different things. When we deal with the areas of the Spirit, we're dealing with healing. We're looking specific where people initiate healing themselves. When they're doing something, they're going after healing. Most of the time, most people are waiting for really healing to be ministered to them. And when somebody's operating under the anointing, like you take Benny Hinn, has a very popular ministry in the areas of healing and things. People don't realize this, but they're not, person's usually not going after healing there. They're having healing ministered to them. There's a difference. We're looking at these individuals. Healing's not being ministered to these people. These people are initiating the healing. They're initiating, and there's a difference. And when I found out, you know, that if you learn how to initiate, you can get healing anytime. You don't have to wait for a manifestation of the Spirit. Because if the Spirit don't manifest in that way, in fact, back in Pentecost, Brother Hagin used to talk about the fact of, he said when he started off in the ministry, he said he used to pray for the sick from the time that he was first got started really in the ministry as a he was really a teenager. He was like 17 years old or so when he first pastored his first church. I think it was he started pastoring. He was like 17 years old or something. But anyhow, he talked the fact they would pray for people and healing. But he said the Pentecostals, they only ministered healing when the anointing would show up. They didn't know how to do it by faith. They didn't know a thing about it by faith. So if the anointing wasn't there, they knew nothing about praying for people by faith. They always prayed, you know, concerning the anointing. And so it's when we look at these individuals we've been studying, these are people who they're initiating this thing. They're initiating healing. And you can do that. Last time we met, we talked about the Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue, about his daughter. We had talked about that. And a woman with the issue of blood or the flow of blood. We looked at those two. It's one of the things we can see that they were the initiators. They were the initiators of the healing. Even though there was a multitude, it says there was a multitude, because it talks about the multitude being there, the woman with the flow of blood pushing in through this multitude. So there's a multitude of people, but there's no manifestations of gifts of healings or anything like that going on. There's nothing like that happening. But we find faith makes things happen. And so even in both circumstances, we find that these individuals, it really initiated something. And one thing that I did talk about the last time was the fact of, especially like when people are going to church or people doing something, you know, healing is not a spectator sport. And really, a lot of people from a ministry standpoint, that's what they look. People go like the Benny Hinn for the show. They go to it and really miss out. You know, people should have a purpose or reason that they are doing things or they're going to do stuff. You know, one of the things is I always went to church to learn. I remember back in 1983, the Lord spoke to me and told me to go out to Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. That year, Oral Roberts was going to be ministering here, and I think it was Oral Richard Roberts. It was T.L. Osborne, and Ken Hagin was there, number ones. I think Ken Copeland was one of the ministers there. Some different ones. But anyhow, he told me to go out, and he had been really dealing with me about the anointing. It was the year that I did went out and got anointing on me, the teaching anointing came on me. But one of the things he said to me, he said, I want you to go out there and watch and see how they minister, and how when the anointing comes on them, how they minister and what they do. And, you know, I found out, you know, over time, it's one of the things is just like going to church. Most people go to church, they never pay any attention to how people minister under the anointing. You probably never learn how to do it if you don't watch other people doing it. It's like anything. You're probably going to figure it out yourself. You know, most people ain't going to do. And they don't realize. He said to me, he told me at that time, you know, I had only been born again about a little over 3 years. And he told me, he said, I want you to go out and watch them. When the anointing's on them, watch how they do, how they conduct themselves and what they do. And I learned a lot about yielding to the anointing, about how to yield to it, what they did under the anointing. And when the anointing is on there, it was very interesting because they would be very bold to talk about the anointing that's on them. Is this if you know, you're not going to ever see much of an anointing operate. Is if you're waiting for a great anointing, just when everybody sees everything, you're going to probably not ever have much of anything, because you're going to have to, talk about the anointing that's on you, and people, and I started to watch them, and I watched them, and how the anointing would work on them, and how it would operate through them, and learn to do that. You know, learn to know, I can tell when the anointing's working or it's not. Most people would not have a clue. And I'm sorry, most Christians don't know really, hardly very little about the anointing. And because there's not about the a lot about the anointing that you can specifically explain. There's nothing natural about it. And I mean, I could use words to tell you how I get a sense about things, but really, it's hard to explain. And you have to know and learn to know when it's working and when it's not working. And you know, a lot of people, I've heard people today that are talking about people, you know, they see somebody who's maybe just a, you know, so I've watched people train, just a good trained speaker, and people talk about them like, you know, oh, they really have an anointing, and they really don't have an anointing. They've learned how to make crowds respond to what they want. But they aren't really operating under anointing. So you can be trained in that way, but people don't know. People don't know the difference between the two. And it's good to know. And it especially, if you want something supernatural to happen, and that's what we're looking at with individuals, how they did things that caused something supernatural to take place. And we're going to find, you're going to find out, especially if you're going to have to want to go after things. That's one of the things about attending meetings that we talked to. I said some the last time about the fact of going with a purpose. When you go to, what, do you have a purpose? Or are you just going to church? Or you just go to a meeting? Well, do you really have a purpose? Well, say, I just want to learn something. That can't be enough. What do you want to learn? You know, it's sort of like asking God for money. It's like I always say, yeah, he'll give you a penny. That's money. What's your purpose? Do you really, you know, are you really believing for any certain amount? Or are you just sort of, gee, God, I need money. Well, okay, he sent you a penny. Well, you said you wanted money. That's money. And it's going and having a purpose. What do you want? Many times, really, the anointing to minister in things that go on have to do with what the crowd will accept or won't accept. Doesn't matter how anointed the guy is. This has nothing to do with the thing. See, everybody thinks, oh boy, if they get really anointed, it'll just work. I've watched guys had great anointings and healing, could hardly operate or do a thing because of the crowd. Because the crowd was pretty lazy. They're just spectators watching to see what he's going to do, and they were waiting to watch a show. And nobody was using faith. Nobody was responding to anything. They're waiting for him to do it. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can really tell the difference between groups of people. If groups of people, so one thing's, you know, I found this out over the years myself. If you would get me with ministering to a group of people that are pretty well, they might be born again, but say don't know much about anything, you know, don't know, haven't been taught very much. You can usually get, God will do a numbers of things to grab their attention and do stuff. But you get people who have been taught, who sit and just throw it neutral and just sit there, God won't do much. He won't do nothing. He expects people to do something. People who know to do something, he expects them to do something with what they have. And if they don't, he won't do much. And people need to understand that. That's the way it operates. And we find it in the crowds. We saw this in the last time we taught. This whole crowd, they know Jesus can heal, but these ain't people of faith. They're just going along and see what's going to happen. The multitude ain't doing nothing. They didn't come, they all might have wanted something. You need to understand this. I don't care how much you want something or how much you need something. God does not respond to that. God's not moved if you're falling over a cliff and you ain't calling on the name of Jesus. That doesn't move God. You know, people fall over cliffs all the time, die. They sure want to be saved too. But you need to understand, see, people get the idea, well, God is moved by people's problems. No, he's not. He's moved by faith. God wanted every person in that crowd to be made well. That was God's plan and purpose. Yet it didn't happen. We only find out two people get their needs met. Two people out of a multitude. And sad to say, that's the majority of the time. That's the majority. Majority of the time, that's what happens. Because many times most people are not coming for anything. They want things. But they're not coming after anything. They have no purpose in what they're doing. They're just going to see, maybe it's my turn, maybe I'll get something. And they'd like to. And they go away and they look and they say, boy, he doesn't understand that woman. She never attended those meetings. I mean, we're always following Jesus around and we don't get healed. Why? How come she got healed? It's her first trip here. God wasn't moved by faith. God was moved by faith. He don't care how many times you go to church. You go to church every day of the week and go to. He ain't moved by that. That doesn't move God at all. It's going there by faith. And so we're finding people, and that's why he's looking at these individuals, because if Jesus, we talked about in the beginning, he's the Son of God. He's here to do the will of God. That was his whole point of his ministry. So Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. So we find that these individuals moved Jesus. So we know this, they moved God. And so it's important to know, it is really, if people would do more study in these areas about these individuals, then people study it all about all kinds of things, but studying about these individuals, that's where I spent most of my time and studied the areas of healing, is finding these individuals. What did they do? What did they do? How did they react? What did they act? What did they do? And you're going to find out that these people were stick out of the crowd people, because they stuck out from the crowd because, number one, they usually went to the Lord, said exactly what they wanted. They went with a thing, you know, they weren't this shy waiting back to see if anything's going to happen. And, you know, I don't want anybody to think I'm pushy. I do. God knows I'm pushy. And that's the way I'm going to be. Because that's where you get things. The violent take it by force. The rest of them sit around and wait for it and don't ever get it. And you're going to go after it and get it, or just sit around out in the sidelines, and that's the way it is. And that's where these people wanted something. It's the woman with the issue of blood. She pushed through the crowd. She went there and she went after and touched Jesus. And power went out. You know, Jairus. Jairus was in a problem. He didn't just wait around to see what Jesus was going to do. He went to Jesus right away. Hey, come to my house. My daughter's dying. Let's get over there now and get to this thing going. Yeah, let's get it done. And to me, it's just wonderful to see. And sometimes you get to experience these kinds of things where people will turn around and do this. But being like that is getting the idea. You have to come to the place where these people, we know one thing. They believed if they got to Jesus, they were going to get what they wanted. They were. Most of the crowd does not believe that. Most Christians today, even spirit-filled Christians who say they believe in healing, do not believe that. They don't believe they're going to get healed. If you believe that you got to Jesus, you would get it. That'll change everything. That changes everything. And so you got to get to the point. And it's like, so many people are skeptics. You know, they're going to church to see if they get something. Man, if I was going to church and just out of the things to see if I got anything, I don't know if I'd want to go. I know that I'm going to get something. I know. That, you know, it's like the things, it's your whole approach of how you view it. So when we see these people, and when we talk to about the both of them, these ones, the woman with the flow of blood and Jairus, they got exactly what they wanted. They got exactly. They didn't get less. They didn't get something, you know. God didn't say, well, Jairus, I need another star in heaven, so your daughter's a goner. Okay, you know, this God just needs, you know, up there. You know, God's sort of lonely, you know. He's this sort of flake up there that sits up there and he's lonely. I mean, he's lonesome. Poor old God up there, you know. Just sort of sitting around, sort of stupid, don't know what to do with himself. Got all this power. Well, let's kill somebody today because I'm lonely. I mean, think about the stupidity of Christianity. The stupidity of Christianity in their teaching. And I mean, you go to funerals today and still hear that nonsense. And I mean, I hate to go to funerals and listen to ministers talk. I mean, I just, you know, to me, I just want to drag them outside and slap them and say, man, what are you doing to these people in here? You just told them God's ugly and mean. And God's your problem. You know, it's like, yeah, God killed him. He had a real purpose in it. Well, excuse me, what was the purpose? Well, we don't know. That's hidden. Well, then how do you know he had a purpose? If you don't know, you don't know if he had a purpose. You know what the purpose was if you don't know. Now, would you? So how could you say there had to be a purpose? That's a good religious saying to when we are ignorant. That's to trying to cover up our ignorance, we make dumb statements. That's what humanity does. Religion does it all the time. They make really dumb statements trying to hide ignorance. So people don't know about all the ignorance and stuff that's going on. Tonight, I want to look at something here. We're going to look at some, again, at some ones that were healed in Matthew, the 9th chapter. I want you to look here at Matthew in the 9th chapter. We're going to look at two blind men that were healed, and we look at them again because we see these repetitive things when we look at these people. And to think that when these things have been put in the scriptures and they've been put in so repetitively, even with different people, and they're put in there, then so we can understand the purpose the purpose of these. And in Matthew, the 9th chapter, in verse 27, it starts, it says, when Jesus departed from there, it says, two blind men followed him. Now, what do they do? Now, look at this. These two blind men are what? Following him. Now, what are they doing? Crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Here's two blind guys. Now, understand this. Is it easy for blind people to follow people around? Does it say Jesus just stopped and said, oh, you guys shouldn't be following me. Oh, I'll come and I'll just do whatever. No, it don't. I'm going to tell you what. God is going to test your faith to see if you really want what you said. There's many people, they want what, they'll want a certain thing. But if they have to do anything to get it, or it inconveniences them at all, they ain't going to go after it. Just forget it. I'm sorry, it's what most Christians are. Most Christians, that's why most Christians, so many Christians don't live right, because it's an inconvenience to them. It's an inconvenience to their life, what they want to do. God's an inconvenience. Oh, they'll say, I love God, and they'll talk all that nonsense, and it's nonsense, because God, if anything that's an inconvenience. These two guys, here they're running, they're following after Jesus, crying out, and Jesus ain't saying a thing to them. See, most people today, they cry out to the minister and he don't respond to them, well, that ugly thing. I want to go to a church where a minister jumps when I yell. And I'll tell you what, every one of those churches are faithless churches. If a minister jumps when people yell right away, yeah, you ain't got nothing but a faithless crowd. Because they will control and run, they think they can run God that way. If I yell, God has to jump to my yell. He don't. God's only move of faith. And he's going to see if you got some. I'm serious. That's the way it operates. When I learned about healing, and I found this out, that if you want to get over in these areas and learn how to operate in them, you're going to have to go after it. And you're going to have to, you're going to have to prove that you have faith. You're going to have to prove that you really have faith. Most people, I'm sorry, they deal in the areas of, really, from what they see. If inconvenience starts, well, I'm not seeing what I want, so... Anything that hurts their little feelings, well, that stops everything. Anything that causes an emotion, and so they don't like that. But this is one of the things, as faith comes over in the area, it's not moved by what you see. It's not moved by that kind of stuff. These guys wanted something, and I literally like it. Here they are blind. Now, these guys can be blind for years. I mean, today, most people find such convenience, the society will do so much to make it so convenient for them. I was listening one day to a show on television about blind people. There's blind people out here, that could have their sight restored, but they don't want it restored. They like their blindness because these people were talking on TV. I listened to them talk about it. They were just full of pride about, all they can do in being blind. And they were just, Oh, yeah. It's amazing how here things go on. These guys had been blind. They're blind, but they're chasing after something. They want something. They're calling out. They're saying, Jesus, you have mercy on me. Isn't it there funny that Jesus did just stop in the instant and say, yeah, right away. At your service. Then it goes on and says, and when he had come to the house, he said the blind men came in, they came into him. They're following him around. He's yelling. He ain't catering to them. They're after something. They're after something, and this is why they end up getting it. They're different than the multitude. They're different than the crowd. These ones are different. He says, Jesus said to them, and now Jesus is going to ask the question to them. Number one, he's going to locate. See, you could run around and say, God, have mercy on me. That don't mean you have any faith at all. You might not believe, you saying, God, have mercy on me, what does that mean? I expect God to do something for me just because I got a problem. That could be having mercy. Most of the time, mercy is dealing with the things of you haven't done nothing or you've just messed up and God have mercy on me to get me out of my problem that I got me into. That doesn't mean anybody has any faith. And that doesn't mean anybody has anything. He's their son of David, have mercy on me. And we finally ask them a question. See, he has to locate them. Number one, if they are in faith, they need to begin speaking in that direction. See, they're calling out for mercy. What they want requires faith. So he gets them over. And the thing, look what he says. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? He asked them a question. Well, let me ask you this. You're saying to have mercy. Well, do you believe I can really do it? Well, they say to him, and they said to him, yes, Lord. Now, then what he said. Then he touched their eyes and said, what? I'm going to heal you. No. He said, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. In other words, you're going to have what you can believe. That's what Jesus said to them. Okay, according to what you believe. In other words, you can have what you believe. That's what he told them. If you believe I can do it, then you, if you believe that, you can have according to that. If that's where your faith's at. Now, if their faith wouldn't have been there, there wouldn't have been nothing happened. It says, and their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them to say, to see that no one knows it. It says, but when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. I won't go into all that, but there was reasons why sometimes Jesus told them not to. Because, well, from one of the big reasons was when people would go publicize everything, Jesus would be swamped all the time and there'd be multitudes all the time and he could never sit and rest. He could never do anything. That's what most people, preachers ain't supposed to rest. Whenever we jump, yell, we need something, they're just supposed to stop, just go do it. Jesus didn't believe that, so I don't either. I don't believe you just stop everything just because somebody has a problem. Because people will wear you out. It's the truth. People will wear you out. They have no consideration. I think they have a consideration of their problem at the time. That's my consideration. That's what I got. I'm having a problem right now. It don't matter what you're doing. Because I ain't got any faith to deal with it. You're supposed to be man of faith of the hour. You take care of it. He told them, no, it's according to your faith. According to your faith, let it be done to you. And so, understand this. So here we have, again, the woman with the issue of blood, he told her that her faith had made her whole. Here he tells them what their faith. See, we need to understand the power of God is activated by faith. These men, this is not a special anointing or anything like that. These guys are just activating the power of God through faith. And so, they both received their healings. They went after something. Jesus, we see, located them, and concerning their faith, he asked them a question. Understand this. As I found over the years, a lot of people get offended if they want ministry to them and you ask them questions about their faith. They get offended. And I know immediately when they get offended, they are not getting what they want. Why would you question my faith? Well, I want to know if you really are there. I will know it when I hear you talk. And most of the time when I start hearing them talk, I realize they ain't no place in faith. They ain't getting nothing. Now, see, people don't like that, but you need to understand and missing the ministering to people. You need to ask people where they're coming from. We don't just throw things out there and minister to people like, you know, I'm going to heal you. Come on, get over here. I'll heal you. No, they're participants in this thing. They're participants in this thing. And I know over times and sometimes in ministering to people in the areas of healing, people say they want healed. And I, you know, what to take a little time to teach them and show them the scriptures. Well, I don't have time for that right now. And I just tell them, you don't have time for healing. Go do something else. They don't like that. You know, nobody... You know, I just came to get my healing. Let me just, you know, go do my thing. I know that they're not in a place to be ministered to. We're going to pray, and they're going to go away in the same nonsense that they came in, and they aren't going to have it. It's not going to work. And so, we need to know. Jesus wasn't. We find this if you find Jesus' ministry. Jesus wasn't just always quick to just jump and minister at something. He wasn't quick to do that. We shouldn't be either. We shouldn't be so quick just to minister. Like people pray. Oh, well, just pray. Well, that done a lot of good, hasn't it? We just prayed, and it has done nothing. And we need to find out and locate. A lot of people want prayer. And, they get problems, and this is the thing all the time. And, you have it. And even relatives and stuff and things go on, and they'll call and ask people, well, just pray. Nobody ever says for what. Never, never do they ever say for what. What do you want? Well, I'd like the person to get better. Well, how do you want them to get better? Are you satisfied with them, taking another 6 months or a year? Well, what do you want? What do you want? I mean, People don't. They don't specify anything. They don't. People. But we have this thing because religion is probably just pray, just pray, just pray. Oh yeah, we're just going to make it. We just pray. If we just pray. Oh my God, if we only just pray. Yeah. Oh, we just don't pray enough. Why? Well, most of the time people pray is ain't nothing but nonsense. It's no direction. It's not. It doesn't have purpose. It's just like, well, if I just pray and just talk to God, then maybe, you know, he'll finally say, let's do something for him so they'll quit talking to him. I don't know. You know, sometimes I wonder, what do people want? It's like having specifics. You know, I found out, and I learned this concerning God, you know, over time, and I found out that lots of times that I didn't get answers for things, it wasn't because God didn't want to answer my question. I wasn't asking the right question. So God didn't respond to me according to what I was saying because it's not what I was looking for. And it's the craziest thing. I've had this happen to me hundreds of times. Literally hundreds of times I've had this happen. I finally asked the right question and I didn't have to wait 2 seconds to get an answer. I didn't wait 2 seconds. As soon as I asked it, I knew on the inside what the answer was. It came to me immediately. I knew what it was. But I asked the right question. You know, sort of like, you know, a person, you know, is over here, you know, working on their computer and they call the automotive center and ask a question to the guy at the automotive center and they're over here working on a computer. And we don't realize that's lots of times with God, out of ignorance, we don't know what to say to God and really talk to him. And we want to know something. Many times we need to take time to find out what is it? You know, I found that God doesn't talk in generalities. He talks in specifics. Did you ever notice the scriptures? They're not written in generalities. Did you ever notice that? Go read the prophets. God didn't talk in general to them about things. He talked in specifics to them about stuff. And I found out that God does not do small talk. God doesn't do small talk. If you want to know something, find out what he wants. Just like these guys chasing after Jesus, he got right down to the point. He wants to get them over in the areas of faith, get them over in the thing. Let's get this thing on the road. Let's get this thing in the direction it belongs. And you do that, people get what they want. And, you know, a lot of people, they lack this, you know, cushy, smushy, make me feel good and all this kind of stuff and doing things. But people never get what they want. All it does is just makes them feel good while the devil kills them. I want better than that one. They were so kind to me. Sort of like my mom. My mom used to go to this doctor. He never helped my mom. So many years. She went to this man for years. Never helped her. Finally, when he left after he retired, after he was, I think, 230 years old, he finally retired. And my mom got a new doctor. This new doctor took over the practice, this young guy. So my mom wanted to come in for a checkup, and he said, I will not check you up the way. He said, you're the medications and things you're on. He said, if I do a checkup for you, I do a physical for you. He said, all I'm going to tell you is what the drugs are doing to you. I don't know what your body's doing. He said, so I want you off all of your medications. He said, there ain't nothing on you that you know, you're going to drop dead tomorrow. He said, I want you off your medications, and I want you to come back to see me, and we're going to do a physical, and he gave her like a month. You go off the stuff, come back in a month. Came back in a month, had my mom checked, and the doctor said, you don't need to be on any of the medications you're taking. None. But you know what? My mom would always say about that other doctor, because when she would go to see the other doctor, he would never do things like, go take your medicine, I ain't going to do it your way no more. We're not going to. The other doctor would, oh, Mrs. Gibson, I feel so sorry for you. You know, I'm really sorry for your problems. And, oh, I'm really, you know, this is, he was Mr. Cushy, lousy doctor, terrible doctor. But he would sweet talk everybody. Oh, and they loved it. You know, stay sick, but he's so nice. He's going to send you to the grave early, but he's such a great bedside manner. I don't care if a doctor don't have any bedside manner at all. I don't care how crude he is. If he can get the job done, who cares? That's what I'm interested to get the job done. You know what? And God's a lot like that. God loves people. But you know, God wants to get the job done. You know, God would just, you know, God don't want some guy to have to take 10 years to get healed. That's not God's plan. You know? You know, you're sick for a purpose. And after a while, this whole purpose is fulfilled. You're going to be this great person. Notice, you could be stuck in a box somewhere and we'll be doing, you know, saying the 23rd Psalm over you. You know, using a psalm the way it's supposed to be said anyhow. It didn't have to do with death anyway. But we'll be doing it because we don't know what the Bible says. And we'll be doing all those things. And, wow, wasn't that wonderful? And because what God has an intent and purpose. Just like with these individuals, they came to Jesus. And really, in their intent, the whole thing, you can find out about them. I believe the greatest thing that moved Jesus concerning them was the fact they would not let it alone. They wanted to know. I found this out in answers to problems and things. Things you want to learn or want to know if you'll just keep going after it. If you're waiting till, you know, God's just going to talk to you about it one day, may never come. But when you start getting intent on something, to look at something and want to understand things and want to comprehend things, it'll come. And just like with these two gentlemen we read here, they had a purpose in what they were doing, and they didn't let it alone. You know, Jesus wandered off, and they just, I don't know, these guys must have been good at following footsteps or something. I don't know. Whatever they were good at it, and they wouldn't stop. And Jesus went into the house, and they just went into the house. These are my kind of guys. I like these guys because, you know, they're after something. But you know, it was one thing is you can see it about something. You can tell if a person's after something or not. You can tell. I can tell if somebody really wants something or not. People come and they can give a prayer request. I know that if they really want it or not. You can tell by the way they come. Are they really after this thing? Most people do it in general. This is what I'd like to have. But it isn't really what they're going to... Look, I'm not settling for something else. These guys ain't going to settle for anything other than seeing and leaving the house. That's what they're going to do. These guys are in the thing of seeing. This is what it is. It isn't, oh Lord, you know, give us a better white cane, maybe a dog, and I'll just, this is going to really settle it. They ain't after that. These guys want something, and they're after it. And I believe that's one of the things. I believe that really moves God, because it's really a sign of faith at the fact they're after something. They know that somebody has something that they can get, and they're not going to leave till they get it. I'm going after that thing. I'm going to do it. And learn to get that thing. You're not... We need to understand that we consider things being rude if somebody would do something like that. To God, it's not. That's what moves Him. When somebody pushes after it and won't back off away from it, it just keeps going after it. God loves that. And see, our cultures, really, I can just tell it by different cultures of different places that I've ministered in the world. Some cultures are their culture is a detriment to their Christianity, because their cultures, they're trained as people as passive. They're really passive. When people are passive, they're going to have a hard time with God, because God's not passive. God's active. You know? And if you're passive, that's what you are, you're not going to go after things and you're not going to see stuff. You won't see much of anything happen. You won't see stuff taking place like you'd like to. Passive isn't good. And you can see that with Jesus. Jesus always, you know, and dealing with people. Jesus was not passive about things. He wasn't, he didn't operate in that way. And, being passive is not good, because I saw, like, in cultures and things where I ministered, I would see where people were very passive about things and this stuff and say, well, we don't do that here, or we don't do that. Our culture is not like that. I just want to look at them and say, you know, the devil owns your culture. You're called to be a Christian, not your culture. So knock it off. I don't give a rip what your culture is. You follow the culture of heaven. We're in a new kingdom. We're not, you know, I don't care what America does. I know what the Bible says, and I'm supposed to do what it says, not what American culture says. It doesn't matter what American culture says. And you'll find that people somewhat don't like that. That was one of the things is we need to understand was the drive of America and why America became what it was. Because our culture, it sort of was not passive. And that's why people invention and doing things. They didn't sit around. They weren't like the rest of the world sitting around. That's why Central, South America, they don't go nowhere. They can't. They're passive. They're waiting to be taken care of. They don't have it within them. Let's go get that. They don't do that. And America now wants to become that. So let's just all sit around and have it. They might as well believe America can't survive with their cultures as long as they stay passive. You can't survive. You'll go under. You can't do it. It's an impossibility. And that's the difference. It's because, well, the way that they're trained, it's the way they're taught. This is the way you do it. But that is the way you do it. Because that's not the way the kingdom operates. God's not passive at all, never has been, never will be. And see, when religion's turned into this passiveness, it doesn't work. And people need to understand that. It's not a matter of knocking people in general, but all over the world you run into cultures and this bit of this passive. Oh, we're all just going to get along with each other and everything's just going to be so nice and rosy. Anybody that stands up and wants to be a little aggressive to go after something, oh no, you're not supposed to do that. No, don't you do that. But really, all invention of anything that's come out, anything has been done by passive, just passive doesn't do anything. And see, we need to understand the difference that of going after things. Saying, okay, we want to achieve something. We're going to go after something, you know? And, you know, that's what makes a difference. I mean, there's no way, like you take America, there's no way that our nation would have became the great industrial nation that it became from the standpoint of being passive. It couldn't have done it. Any impossibility. It wouldn't have done it, you know. And we need to be able to see that, you know, that there is one of the whole things. I mean, if you ever even thought, like, you know, you ever sit over and look, say, like the Second World War, the United States was producing most of the weaponry and everything for most of the world, for the Allies. The United States was our nation was pumping out everything. We were given, we gave thousands and thousands of tanks and thousands of planes. I mean, I forget how many thousands of tanks and planes we gave to Russia alone in the war, and plus to England and them. How many ships and how much? I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands. The United States was building 1,500 ships a month. You couldn't have took the rest of the world together and had them build 1,500 ships in a month. They couldn't have done it. They didn't have themselves to do anything. And it's different because of the culture. And really, you know why? Because the closer we followed God, the more inventive we were and the better we were at doing things. When we didn't... See, today, what do? They're trying to push cultures all the time. Oh, we want to build everybody's culture. I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Why? Because I want my faith to work. Culture will not run me. You know? And everybody gets all excited, you know, that... Irish and, you know, my relatives are Irish. You know, I come out of Irish background. You know, whoa, boys are great, a bunch of drunks. Okay, we're kind of really, wow, we're changing the world. Oh, this is the way we do it. I don't care how they do it. As long, you know, my dad was the first in his family. He was the oldest of a family of 17 kids. He was the oldest of the bunch, first one to ever get saved. And really, it changed the whole family because he was the first one to really start on the road of really getting anywhere in life. Nobody was getting anywhere. When he got saved, it changed everything. My dad, you know, but he headed in a direction. He was going to go after something, and he went after it. He got saved and went after it. But you know, it changed his whole family's life, his brothers and sisters and everybody in doing that. If he would have been passive, that would have never happened. Passive Christians never get their families to come in. They have a hard time getting their families in. Why? Because they're passive. And everybody sits around and says, well, it's not really that important. It's not that important to them. You know what I mean? Sure, that's what passive does. And I look, I'm not just trying to not cause you, but I want people to see this. And when you get over in the kingdom, because we keep looking at these people in here, and these people are the ones that the Bible are giving us as the illustration of operating in faith. They're not passive. These are not passive people. If you would have went in the Hebrew culture of that day, you know what they had become? Passive. That's why the multitude don't get saved. Well, that's why the multitudes don't get the stuff. That's why the multitudes it ain't working for. Because they're following the culture. They're mad at Jesus because he's not following the culture. It didn't have to do with the law. It had to do with the culture. He wouldn't follow their culture and the rules of their culture. And they rejected the Messiah. They didn't want the real Messiah. They wanted a Messiah. They kept saying so. But when the real Messiah came, that isn't what they wanted. They didn't want that. And so we need to be able to see this. When we see these people, we find out about them. There's always people in the crowd. And I guess maybe it's always this way. I don't know. I would guess you would say there's always this remnant that just get it. that understand that this is what we got to do if we're going to make this thing work. I was just always the, you know, in the areas of, you know, I guess of, if I was going to go do something, even when I wasn't saved, I was going to do something that was going to kill me. If I wanted to do it, I didn't do it halfway. I mean, you go all the way after it, you know. You know, I could just never understand these people, you know, and say, you know, well, I don't drink to get drunk. I say, well, what's the purpose? Why do you drink? What do you drink for? What's your purpose? There's alcohol in that stuff. What are you trying to do? See, I don't want it to affect me. Well, then don't drink it, you idiot. See, people live stupid lives. They do. I always thought people really live dumb lives because they do all different things. They say, well, I don't want the effect of what this is I'm doing. Saying, well, hold it. What's your purpose? And so, but think about it in your life. Find out what's important. Like to me, healing became a very important thing. And one of the things I realized that God really dealt with me a lot in the areas of healing, because is number one, God could see into our cultures in America. Is number one, our culture in America, because of its passiveness in America, has taken in. Sickness dominates and rules, and it always will in passive culture. It always will. Because nobody will have the guts to go after anything. They're all waiting for somebody else, waiting for a doctor to find a cure. That's, you know. Let somebody else be aggressive and go after this thing while I wait. People aren't going. It's like you take people today. People don't, like, say, do things like, you know, take care of their own health. They're always waiting for somebody else. You know, well, the reason I have insurance is because I can just let my health go and then, and then somebody else will pay for my problem. People don't think about the fact as well, taking control of yourself and saying, hey, what about me doing something about my health? What about me? You see, that's... You start getting over in that area, hold it, that don't fit culture. That don't fit. But we have to do that. And that's what I found out. I realized God was dealing with the areas of health and that stuff, because the way things are going, and even at the time when I came into the kingdom, you could just see people more and more from the health problems and more health problems and more and more health problems and more and more health problems, and all this stuff going on. God has a plan to deal with it. He's always had a plan, and God wants people well. Because sickness destroys cultures. I don't care what culture, it destroys them. There's no way to stay sick and become wealthy. You're eventually going to end up, you know, just like we had the woman with the flow of blood, what happened to her money? She must have had pretty much money over time. She gave everything she had. She lost everything she had dealing on the areas of getting well. You know, did you ever think from her standpoint, she had to finally come at the bottom of the barrel where she lost all her money until she finally said, hey, hold it. I got to do something. I want to tell you, I found out whether we like to look at it this way or not, but generally that's the way that people will do nothing about their health till they lose their insurance. Gee, I got to do something now. It's like we have this tendency to wait till a problem, things fester, and things get worse and get worse. And then after the bottom falls out, gee, let's do something. And these people here, like we found out, is this, these ones being aggressive, the ones going after something, that, you know, they caused something to happen. So they're different in the crowd. You know, don't let it alone. Is dealing over the areas with things of going after it, saying, hey, this is what I want. You know, when I wanted to, you know, learn things about healing, and when I first started off, I really went into the things of doing a lot of study in the Word. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching on it, but I do a lot of study on my own and looking in the Scriptures and things and learning things. And I read a number of different books, really good books and stuff that I had on the areas of healing and looking at things. In the areas of study, but really just going after it. And the more that I went after it, you come to the place you become convinced. The more you do is to go after something, you become convinced by it. And after a while, you know, where people are trying to believe things, I come to the point where I'm not trying to believe anymore about it. I know what's going on. I know more than just God wants to heal people and God will heal people. I come to the place to understand that God did something about my healing 2,000 years ago, that he took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I'm not trying to get God to heal me anymore. Do you realize we don't do it like from the standpoint and the same aspect of these people do? They're going to Jesus to be healed. Under their covenant, healing was a promise from the standpoint of something you could get. Healing is something we have in our covenant. It's already ours. It's totally different. See, most people are going like old covenant. They're going like it's something they're trying to get, something they're going after, rather than it's something that I already have. If I'm dealing with a problem in the area of healing, there's only can be two reasons why. Now, if I'm in faith with God, once I believe I receive my healing, there can only be two reasons for us that we have a problem, and it deals with us or the devil. Usually, we keep yelling at God about it. That's not the problem. God's not the problem because he already took your infirmities and bore your sickness. That'd be like a sinner keep yelling at God to save him. It's too bad. It's already done. What you need to do is receive Christ. Christ has been given. What do? I receive Christ. I don't need to. I can yell at God for salvation all I want. It's already, salvation's been a complete thing from God's side. It's already done. Healing is already done. Once I got born again, healing is mine. It belongs to me. It's whether or not I'm going to act like it belongs to me, that I have it rather than trying to get it. See, most people are trying to believe God. They'll say, I'm trying to believe God for healing. You will not find anything like that in the New Testament. Nothing's ever said like that in the New Testament. That's religious talk. I'm not believing for healing. We're supposed to believe we received it. That's a totally different thing. Believing for it means it ain't yours yet. You see the difference. See, we are dealing with a covenant on our side. It's like I've been talking, you know, and I think it's all the time with God. God looks and sometimes and wonders about us down here and stuff, and he's there like, you know, why do they keep asking for that? I already gave them that. Why do they keep asking me for that? I gave it to them. See, if all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ were given to us, then they're ours. Once I find out what that blessing is, I can immediately incorporate that blessing and say, that belongs to me, that's mine, I have that. That's my blessing. That's what he gave me. I believe I received that thing. See, anything you believe you receive, in Mark 11:24 says you're going to have. He said, you'll have it. In other words, it's going to show up. It will show up. It will have to. It will have to show up. Now, the only one that's going to try to keep you away from you is the devil. And how he does that, he can't come along and say, okay, you can't have your healing. He can't say that. He'll come along and talk you out of believing you received it. So you'll begin to say, well, you know, I guess maybe, you know, I still have an ache and I still got a pain and, you know, get over there and get you over that area. But that's what he'll do to you. But it really deals from our standpoint. But from God's standpoint, the work is completed. The Bible talks about the work being completed in Christ Jesus. Really, everything's already done in the mind of God. He's already done it. It's us finding out and receiving it as true, beginning to talk like it's true. But we can turn around and learn from these people's faith, because you're going to find this. When you step over in the areas of faith, you will usually find at that time there's things that will come against you. And if you're passive, you'll quit. When the obstacle comes, you'll stop. And so you can't. You've got to learn to be aggressive at it. Don't allow anything to hold you back from you continually believing it's yours, that God gave it to you. You're not trying to get it. It belongs to you. It is yours. It's just like with Rose and Conrad. You know, if somebody came here, knocked on the door and said, excuse me, I'm sorry, but this is my home. Well, we thought it was ours. And, are you sure? Yeah, but it's mine. Well, we'll just have to get our stuff packed. And if it's his, well, what do we want to say? Wow. You know, that sounds sort of strange. Christians do that all the time. Christians do that kind of thing all the time. No, healing don't belong to you. Like, you still got an ache. Well, you're still limping. You're not healed. Huh. You don't have that. Well, I guess I guess you're right. If I'm still, then I guess I am not healed. Yeah, I guess, been trying to get it though. you see the difference? And see, it's being aggressive. No, it's mine. You don't allow any other. I don't care who it is talks around. It's mine. We ain't talking anything else. We talk nothing else. It's mine. Anybody else has another opinion on the subject, you can say it, but I'm going to tell you I don't agree with you at all. You forget. You believe what you want. Why? I'm aggressive. Why? It's mine. I ain't letting you steal it from me. I ain't letting you take it. Now see, people being that, well, you know, that's not being very polite. Excuse me, when I come to my health, I ain't polite at all. I ain't staying sick for nobody. And if people want to have it a certain way and they want to have their diseases, have them. And, we had blind Bartimaeus, you know, to shut up in the crowd. You know, don't you know? We ain't supposed to be yelling in the crowds, you know. We don't like yelling in the crowds. You know, no. Let's keep it down, you know. We're very civilized, you know. Blind Bartimaeus, he yelled all the more. My kind of man. He said, I'm going to make sure none of you hear nothing. There's only one thing that will be heard here. It's me. Because I'm after something. And yet again, he's the only guy in the crowd gets healed. The rest of them are so much nice religious people, following culture so wonderfully to their death. It's really wild and crazy. So, let's just make sure here where we're on time. Okay. I don't want to get started. There's too much over this other one we're going to get started over into. We've gone about 55 minutes already anyhow. But I just want to encourage you in that area, especially in the areas of being, and I'm not talking about being aggressive to the standpoint of being a bully, but when you have made a stand, make your stand. Don't let people let you move you off of it. It doesn't matter what people think about you. I realize, you know, when I first started off, there was a lot of people didn't like, you know, the idea. I know people, you know, would make fun of the fact that, you know, well, you're name it, claim it, and all this kind of stuff. And they would say, oh, are you a Haganite, you know, and that stuff. And, you know, they'd say things like that about because you could listen to the teaching. Well, I wasn't a Haganite. What they didn't realize is I was believing what the Bible said, and they weren't. They didn't like that. And if you tell them, say, well, you don't believe what the Bible says. I didn't like it because plenty of people had taken more of the Bible. And said, well, no, you can't do this. Take the Bible. You know, Bible says that all things are possible to him that believes. Is that true or did Jesus lie when he said that? Well, he didn't mean. Say, hold it. Show me the scripture that says he didn't mean that. Well, they can never show it to you. They're religious, but they're, you know what? I don't know of any person ever changed like that. But at least you get the point. You shut their mouth. You prove to everybody else they don't believe what the Bible says. And they learn, then they quit. They don't say anything else. But they're running around saying it, trying to talk and not. They want you to move off. People, you know, generally, if they're believing in a certain direction, and especially they have a group after them and they're believing in a certain direction, when somebody comes along and don't believe in their direction, they don't like that. They don't. And sometimes I personally believe that people don't care if what's true or what's not true. It's you, they want you to agree with them, even though they know that they're heading in the wrong direction. But they don't want to admit that they're in the wrong direction. They don't want to admit that, hey, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's happening. And they don't want to admit that. And so it's very difficult for them. And they're going to try. And I learned, I don't try to convert them. I don't try to, you know, people say, oh, you don't need to sit down and talk with them. I ain't going to sit down and talk with them. You know, if I'm preaching, they come and listen to me preach. But we ain't sitting down. You know, I preach the word. I don't discuss it, you know, because it always gets into nonsense. When you get over into those things that people, they want to debate, tell them to go. There's debate teams they can get on and go do their thing and would settle nothing, you know, and do anything. It's like, you know, it's a matter, you debate stuff never leads to faith. It never leads to faith. Debates never lead to faith. I remember here not long ago, by last year sometime, this minister in up in Washington State, I think he's in Seattle, had a pretty large church up there. And there's this other minister who years ago was in Tulsa, had a very large ministry in Tulsa. And he got over listening to people in a group coming in and ministering his church in the areas of grace and got over really believing this sloppy grace. And over a long period of time, he come along to believe that now he believes that everybody will be saved, no matter who it is. Everybody, you know, no matter what religion you are and that stuff, when everybody dies, everybody's going to be saved. And he had this minister that believes this stuff now come into his church on a Sunday morning, and they sat there and debated about from the Bible and the thing. And I thought, this man's got to be insane to let this guy. Because you need to understand this. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And if that guy comes in here and talks, and he's getting a pulpit to stand and preach his false doctrine, there's people in there that are going to buy it. You don't do that nonsense. You don't do that idiocy. If he wants to have a pulpit, he can go pay to have his and go get people to come. But you don't take Christian people. They don't need to sit there and listen to some guy, you know, that we know is wrong. But to get to preach it in your church. Well, they said, and I listened, I watched it. They had it on TV, you know, like I guess it was after, you know, it happened, but they had it on. So I wanted to see it. And I'll tell you, I watched the thing, and it was awful. It was terrible. I thought, I'll tell you what, when they were done with it, I thought, my God, nobody won anything. I thought, the congregation lost in this thing. Because number one, the preacher wasn't smart enough that had him in. But number two, I don't care how smart he was, he should never done that. You don't ever, it's like all these idiots running around and reading and studying books on other religions to how to minister to people in other religions. Who ever heard anything so stupid at all? I don't see Jesus studied Buddhism so he could go minister to somebody who was a Buddhist. You don't do that stuff. You put something into you. If you want to go, you're going to be putting it into you. If you want to read their books, you're getting it into you. And don't be surprised you get some demons come right along with it. And you know, people doing stuff. Don't do those things. We don't need to do those kinds of things. We don't need to get into debates and all this kind of stuff. We got the Bible. That's good enough. If a person don't want to believe the Bible's true, that's fine. I ain't going to argue with them over it. They can go do what they want. It doesn't matter. They want to hear the truth, they can come and I'll preach the truth. But I'm not going to debate and get into all this kind of stuff. See, Brother Hagin would never do that. He'd never debate. He'd never do a TV interview or anything. He wouldn't do a TV interview unless they had to sign a thing telling him that they would have to put on TV everything that he said. They couldn't excerpt. Well, none of them want to do that. He'd tell him, say, nope. Because they would come and want him, ask him questions about things going on. And what's your opinion? And he would just tell him, he'd say, you want to sign a thing? You're going to have to put on everything that I say. And they'd say, well, we can't do that. He said, well, you can't get no answer either, so forget it. Smart man. Not like half these preachers and idiots go on the news and they get done with them. The news has them looking like a bunch of idiots. And they are. They're idiots because they allow it to happen. I saw Benny Hinn do that over his problem, letting them come and ask him about things. And then they would put their little excerpts on TV. They made him look like an idiot. He was dumb forever. You know, you don't have to, you know, hey, if you're doing right and somebody don't like it, what does it matter out there what anybody else thinks about it? You know, who cares? I don't care if the media runs me down. They run their own people down. They don't care. So don't get messed up over into those areas. You know, go after the Word of God. The Word is true. Live like it's true. Walk like it's true. And be aggressive. The more you go after it, and the more you'll just live like it's true, the more it will do for you. It'll do everything that it says. It'll perform it for you. Hallelujah. It's just like those people. Their faith, these guys here were blind. Their faith made them whole. Then whatever you're believing, whether it's healing or whatever it is, you'll have it. It'll be yours. You go after it and say no. Because there'll always be people who'll be trying to stop you. Some will be trying to. Others, they're just ignorant. They don't know any better. They just don't know. They just think, you know, what you're doing seems to be crazy. And according to this world system, it is. I mean, it is crazy. You know, sit around and believe something and confess it and it'll come to pass. I mean, that's the dumbest stuff in the world. Who ever thought of anything like that? And the same preachers will tell you that. Then they'll turn around, well, God created the earth and he said. See, he just created by speaking, huh? You can't do that. Oh my, praise God. Let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you today. Thank you, Lord God, for teaching us the truth. Lord God, I am so delighted over your word. Lord, your word changes everything when it's believed. Hallelujah. And Father, I just want to thank you. Father, we know that, Lord God, we don't believe just because we're so great. But Father God, we're just cooperating with you. We just believe that your word is true, but the Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us into the truth. Hallelujah. So we can see it, so we can know it. And Father, I just want to thank you. Father, we just want to be bold, as like Kenneth Hagin said, that of anything that he wanted a Rhema graduate to have when he left Rhema was a spirit of boldness. And Father, I tell you, Lord God, that's what I want to see. I want to see, Lord God, in the church of Jesus Christ, a spirit of boldness. Hallelujah. Father, people just so confident, unmoved by what everybody else is doing and what everybody else is going on. Moved only by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, that the Word, Lord God, is the answer to their situations. The Word of God, Lord, is what they uphold and what they walk in. And Father God, where they honor the Word. And Father, where the Word comes to pass, where Jesus Christ, the living Word, is glorified and magnified and lifted up. And that's what we want. We want a church where Jesus Christ is magnified, where the Word of God is lifted up and upheld above all. And we thank you for it, Father. Father, we're going to walk in it. We're going to live in it. And Father God, Father, we're going to see it come to pass. The Word will come to pass more and more and more in these last days, Father God, not just with other people, but with us and through us, Lord God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.